Good evening. Welcome. This evening we're going to be having a conversation between three of Baba's pioneering sisters, amongst the first who left Bharat and went for service abroad, following, I guess, Didi Nirmala and Sister Mohini. What I would like to start with, rather than my giving you a formal introduction, let me first ask, who of you do not know these sisters? Hands up if you don't know these sisters. Very few. And hands up those of you who don't really know their story. A lot more. Okay, so what I'm going to do, rather than, as I say, my introducing them formally, I am going to get them to introduce each other. And so, seeing as Mirabeen is closest to me, I will ask her to introduce Sister Hemlata to you.
Om Shanti. It's a great honor to introduce Sister Hemlata. Actually, I came to know about her when I went to Trinidad. That is where I met her first. Even though we all took knowledge quite earlier, around 68 or whatever, yeah, but never had a chance to get to know her. But when I went to Trinidad, Guyana, that is the time I begin to know her. I think she had just completed her MBBS, medical medicine, and she did not even stay in the center. But in 1976, there was a invitation to have service in Guyana, and Sister Mohini needed some service companion. So she was sent from college, as soon as she finished her medical degree, straight to Guyana for service. So since then, she is based in Caribbean, looking after Baba's service there.
Tell me a quality.
Of course, Hemlata Ben is very courageous. Courage is her specialty, as I have seen.
Thank you. Hemlata Ben, can you please introduce Bhavna Ben?
Om Shanti. Sister Bhavna, she is in the eastern part of the world. We only meet her in Madhuban. I never had a very personal connection or relationship with her. Few times I stayed with her. So she is, I don't know too much about her, but I always see her smiling face. And some of the classes which I heard from her is so entertaining, very pleasant way she put Baba's knowledge. And so I felt that it's a very nice. And we meet each other, we converse sometime. I think she left for the service in 1972. I went, what, 76?
72?
She went,
I don't
72?
Think so.
82, not 72, 82. Oh, she has come in Baba's knowledge in 72, and 82 she left to do the service in New Zealand and other places. And so we meet each other, we talk to each other. I always like her smiling face, as well as entertaining way of presenting Baba's knowledge.
Before I ask Bhavna Ben to introduce Mira Ben, I also wanted to just extend an apology from from Sister Rejni, whom I was particularly looking forward to hearing her story, being in Japan and the Philippines and that part of the world. But unfortunately, she's a little unwell, and so she also extends her apologies. So, Bhavna Ben, tell us about Mira Ben.
Om Shanti. I have known Meera Ben more than 35 years, and we all are doing Baba's service eastern part of the world. So twice a year we meet, once in Madhuban, I think twice in Madhuban, and once we have retreat for the all Asia Pacific teachers in Manila or in Malaysia. So in 35 years, I have seen many, many wonderful qualities in Meera Ben. She's a very, very good teacher. The ways she explains Baba's knowledge, anyone can understand very, very easily. Meera Ben is also a very, very courageous, and she's also a good example, very good routine she has in her life. Every time I have noticed, she never ever miss Amrit Vela. She's always there, 3:30 in front of Baba, and very good routine of Brahman life she follows. So such a good example is there in front of us.
Thank you. These are just very quick questions with quick one-word answers. What Laukic age were you, and what Alaukic age were you when you went abroad? Bhavna.
Laukic age was 21.
When you went to New Zealand?
When I went to New Zealand.
Okay, and Alaukic age?
And Alaukic age was, at that time, I think 11 years.
Okay, Kamalathaban?
When I went abroad, it was 24, between 24 and 25 years of age. And I came in Baba's knowledge in 1968.
That made
when I was a student of medical college.
So how many years in Gyan were you?
Seven.
7 years, okay.
It's around the same age. The physical age was around 25 when I first went to Caribbean. And Alaukic age was 7 years, because I also came to knowledge in 68.
Okay.
And went in 77.
Okay, now I assume none of you had been outside of India before. Had you ever been on a plane before?
No. Means at least I know that I have never had the experience of flying.
So tell me, who sent you? Who sent you?
Oh, it's a story actually. Actually, you know, we had Jagdish Bhai gave us a training in 1975 for those who speak English for 15 days, 8 hours a day. After the training, I was asked to make my passport. So that is the time, Guyana wanted somebody from India. So, but of course, my dadi, with whom I was staying, she did not allow me to leave India at that time. Dadi Hriday Pushpa, who is Chandramani Dadi's elder sister. I was in Bangalore, so I did not get permission. So then Hemlata was free at that time. She just finished, so she was sent to Guyana. Then what happened in 1976, in December, we had a conference called Divinize the Man Conference. And I was speaking in one of the sessions in the conference. Uncle Steve Narayan, he was not a student. He had come to Sri Lanka, I think, for some Laukic job. He was the chairperson for that session. So after I had spoken, he said in the public, in the conference, I want to kidnap this sister to Guyana.
Okay.
So then Ramesh Bhai and others were there in the audience, and they had some kind of interaction, you cannot do this and that. So then, of course, that became the springboard for me to go to Guyana. So it was 76, and then 77, March 31st, I went to Guyana.
Okay, Hamlathaban, who sent you? Short stories.
I was having deep relationship with Dadi Janki.
Okay.
That time I did not know Sister Mohini and all that. So Dadi Janki was the one who wanted me to come abroad to do Baba service, because I was not in any of the center. Because once you are in the center, it's lot of responsibility and it's not easy to leave the center. So I was free at that time and she was the one who asked me to come. It was a surprise for me because I never expect that I will go abroad to do Baba service. I was selected for the London, but I did not get the visa to go to London. And I stay back for a few months in the center in Bombay. And that is the time the invitation came from Guyana. And then I was again asked to go. Okay. And of course, I was the first time traveling in the place.
We'll hear that story in a minute. So both of you went to the Americas. Bhavnaban, who sent you to New Zealand?
Actually, Daddy Prakash Mani asked me to go to New Zealand for 3 months. So little story is there. So what happened? When I was doing my Lokik study, most of my holidays I used to spend in Madhuban. So from my godly childhood, I was quite close with Daddy Prakash Mani and Didi Manmohini. So one day I was in Madhuban and that time was a rainy season. So whenever there is a rainy season, we used to go to Pandavavan to museum. We used to wear raincoat and we go to the rain and we will go to museum. And once we arrive museum, Daddy would ask everybody, make some garam garam pakoda. And we used to eat pakoda and we come back to Madhuban. So same routine we were doing one day. So while returning home, there was the one insect was bitten me on my hand. So my hand was swollen and somehow Dadiji knew that insect had bitten. So that night when I went to say goodnight to Dadiji, Dadiji asked me where the insect bitten. Daddy would like to see your hand. So I showed my hand. It was swollen. And Daddy quickly asked to one of the Madhuban brother, go and get some ice cube. And this brother brought some ice cube. Daddy put the ice cube in the hanky and she started rubbing on my hand. And that was a really, really, that scene touched my heart. And I was thinking at that time, here look, Dadiji is a chief of this organization. And I am an ordinary, simple Kumari, and Dadiji is rubbing my hand with so much love and care. So there and there I made determined thought, promise to Baba, okay Baba, in future, any time, if this soul will ask me to do anything, I would straight away say yes. And that was my test after 7 years. Dadiji asked me, that Daddy would like you to send you to New Zealand for 3 months. So straight away I remember my promise and I said, yes, Daddy, I will go.
Before we go on to your arrival in the place, I know that Hamlata Ben has a particular story of what happened when she reached London on her way to Guyana or to... Yeah. Well, just in a few lines, we get to...
Om Shanti. When I was going to Guyana, my flights were via Brazil in Europe and then America. But it happened that we missed a flight. All of us, all the passengers missed a flight. So I went, I said, let me talk to the Dadi Janki. And Dadi Janki said, if you're coming to London, come even for 1 day. I want to see you before you go to Guyana. And I said, okay, I will go. And those days, we used to get only $8 money officially to leave the country.
Wow.
So my all $8 finished. And then I went to London. And I said, okay, if Daddy said to apply, I will apply for the... Although my visa was refused before. And so I applied and they did not give me the visa. But they put me in 24 hours. In the immigration prison. And I was there for that. And Daddy, I called about 11 o'clock at night, Sister Sudesh answered. And then she told the sister, Dadiji, that this is what happened. And when I was leaving, 5-10 minutes before I left, I see Daddy appeared to see me there. And she gave me the blessing that whatever happened in the conference age is the best, is very beneficial. And with that thought, I felt a lot of courage and fearlessness. After that, lot of my fear has disappeared. And then, I reached one day after in Guyana. They were always waiting. They did not know where I am on my way. But I appeared there.
So that made you fearless. Mirabhan, what were
I
some
felt
of
very privileged that Badadi herself came to see me. That was not an easy thing. Mm. That where I was, that is a place she came. So I felt very
beautiful.
Privileged.
What were some of your fears? Leaving Bharat and...
No, I did not have any fears. You know what happened was, in 1974, I was listening to Avyakt Murli one day, and in that Murli, Baba said, the souls in the whole world are calling out to you, don't you have mercy to go and give this message to all of them? So I just felt the strong pull, you know, that I must go outside India to spread this message. So I had written a letter to Dadi Prakash Mani. Dadi, I am ready to go anywhere you send. So Dadi said, yes, okay, I will keep that in mind. Whenever there is an opportunity, I will let you know. So that strong pull was there. I did not have any fear to leave India. But you know what happened, like Hemlata Ben. So I traveled for the first time in the aeroplane, and I traveled in Kuwait Airlines. And so when the flight arrived in Kuwait, the engine was spoiled. So the flight cannot take off. So they asked all the passengers to get down to take us into the hotel. So one amazing feeling I had was they were taking everybody's passport. You know, that is the system. So I was very scared at that time that if they take my passport, then what would happen to me? You know, because I don't have the experience of traveling alone and somebody taking your passport away. So I was avoiding. Every time my turn come, I will go and stand at the back of the queue so that I don't have to give their passport. Finally, I was the only person. So then they put me with another man in a big car, and they drove very fast, you know, in the desert in Kuwait, and took us in a hotel very far. So that is the time I was a little bit nervous. Don't know where I am going now, you know. So then they took us into the hotel and then asked us, there was a lot of food there. They said, whatever you want, you can take. Everything is non-vegetarian. So that's the first time I have never experienced that. So there was no Indian bodied souls anywhere, all other people. So I was just thinking what to do now. Finally, I found one Indian couple sitting in a corner. Somehow, I caught hold of them. And then, of course, like at 12 o'clock, they brought us again to the airport. We have to stand in a queue to get the passport. So when I got my passport, I was really able to take my breath. Because I didn't know what was happening. So again, I also reached London 24 hours late. I was going to Trinidad via London. So they were wondering what happened to Mirabai. Has not arrived where she disappeared. So that was my first encounter getting into the flight.
Did all of you, on your first journey, were you going to, even though it was foreign, even though it was abroad, but were you essentially going to a Hindu community? Bhavna?
Yeah.
It was a Hindu community you were going to. Same Hemlata Ben, same.
But it was...
That made it a little easier, right?
But we didn't know, actually, where... I did not know where I was going. After I went there only, I knew that there were Hindus. I didn't know. I know, in my college days, I never saw where is Trinidad, where is Guyana in the map. But when I went and arrived, only then I came to know that there are Hindus. But before going there, there was no knowledge.
Right, because I'm sure there must have been at least some thoughts of how am I supposed to give Gyan to foreigners, to people of a different religion, different culture, etc. Bhavna?
Fear was there. And this kind of thoughts were there, because when I arrived first Australia, everything was new for me, new culture, weather was quite different, the way Australian will speak, I would not understand one single word because they speak very, very fast. So all those things were there, but deep down inside, I had lot of faith and love for Baba and Daddy, you know, because they are sending me. So some benefit will be there. With that faith, I must keep moving.
And for all three of you, again, just in one word, how long were you away before your first return to India? How many years were you gone? I know it was more than 3 months.
Yeah, I was away nearly 1 year.
Nearly 1 year. Hamlataban?
I was about 8 months.
8 months?
Yeah, because first group
not
of the
so
people.
Long. Not
yeah,
so
not
long.
Not too long.
What was the 15. Feeling, again, short form, what was the feeling when you came back to India for the first time? How were you feeling? Because I remember, and Sister Mohini doesn't mind me telling this, but distinctly remember in the meditation hall when she had come I think maybe from Guyana at the time, and she was in tears about having to go back again, but you all make it sound very easy and very natural and no problem leaving Bharat, right? So when you came back the first time, what was your experience? Were you really looking forward to coming home? And how were you, what do you remember of that homecoming the first time? How were you treated?
When I went to Guyana, it was very far. So I felt I may not come back maybe 2 years or 3 years. But then the service in Guyana was very good because of the cooperation of our uncle, auntie, and Sister Mohini was there. So there was first group came in August, actually, with uncle family. And then I came in December with the 15 people, 15 students. So I was more happy to... That, you know, you go somewhere,
you
Baba
brought
says,
a bouquet,
you bring a flower, so
beautiful.
And things like that. So I did not know. But of course, when I see the family and my mother, she start crying and I start crying with her.
Thank you for your honesty. What did you miss most about India? Apart from the daddies and Madhaban, which is a given, what did you miss most? And again, the fact, you know, to begin with, at least you were still in a Hindu culture, which made it a little bit easier. But what did you miss most about Bharat? And then we'll get on to, you know, what you learned from being abroad.
What I missed the most is the power of the gathering, because I went to Trinidad after 15 days in Guyana, and I had to stay, there was no center, official center. I had to stay with a family, which never had the experience of staying with a Laukik family. And I was staying alone with one brother. You know, he was divorced. So it was very strange for me. You know, in India, I stayed with 8 sisters, dadis, like a big family. And then Brahmin family is also very big. And then there is no morning class. You know, I have to just do my own Amrit Vela in my room and read my Murli in my room and, you know, things like that. So create everything from the from the beginning. So I did miss the Brahmin family, you know, the power of the gathering. You know, every now and then my intellect used to remember the sustenance I have received. Being in the power of the gathering with the sisters, you know, the chit-chats we had with dadis at nights. So because I was alone for 2 years in Trinidad with the Laukik family until we create a proper center.
And so, Hamlataban, even though you may have been in a Hindu culture, but it still was a foreign culture. It was, nationally speaking, you know, it was different. So what did you miss from India in that context, maybe?
When I went to Guyana, although I see the people, 50% people were Indian looking, they have the temples, But the culture I went, my Lokek way, it was very, very different from this. Although we are eating the same food means same name of the food, culture, something, but it was a lot of difference. And I felt that, and there was a kind of freedom in thinking, which I never had here in India. You know, freedom in thinking. Mm-hmm. Their thinking is a little different.
Mm-hmm.
More free thinking because there is influence of America and European country. Or
America gets blamed for everything.
There was a lot of difference. And although I was very much protected in Guyana, whereas in Trinidad I was on my own. You know, I was protected because of the family which came in contact with. And the people there, we never had to go by our own. We had the car at the door. We had a plane to go anywhere.
Yes.
So it was very protected, very facilities-wise and so. And service was very good and things like that. I never know how to meet with the president, prime minister, but there I learned how to go. But I was like assisting Sister Mohini.
Mm-hmm.
But when I came to Trinidad, it was completely free. I was, from the overprotected, I was really free. So it was a two different situation I faced in Trinidad and there.
A question then, Bhavna, your turn, that by being an instrument here in India, you are automatically given regard and respect. And in going abroad, did you feel you had to earn it all over again? You know, and again, I know for many of the sisters, they never had to do any domestic work. You know, and I saw Sadesh Ben, she got stuck in there with the rest of us when it came to cleaning the bathrooms or anything else, which they never would have done here. But did you feel that you had to earn respect again, that it didn't come, or did it come automatically?
No, I had to earn, and a lot of things I had to learn also, because when I was in India, I didn't do much karma yoga. So when I went there, everything you have to do, so a lot of things I learned. Like first example, I just share, when I arrived to one of the centers in Australia, they asked me to make toli for 25 people, which I never ever made in India. 25 people's toli, because I have seen mothers, they make toli, but I never done by myself. So that morning, I went in front of Baba, sat down with my pen and paper, notebook and pen, and I said to Baba, look Baba, I have come here because you sent me here, and now I have to make the toli for 25 people, and I don't know how to make toli. Now you have to give me the recipe. And really, really early days, Baba used to help me a lot, you know, and just whatever inspiration came from Baba, I wrote down and made toli. So a lot of things I had to learn by myself and also have to gain this respect also.
Right. Again, although when you go abroad, when you go somewhere for service, naturally your consciousness is that you're going as an instrument, that you're going to teach people who don't know about Baba, you're going to teach them these things. There is then a point somewhere along the way, and this is my own experience, where you realize that you haven't just gone to teach, but you've actually gone to learn. You know, that you've not gone to serve, but you've gone to be served. I mean, in terms of that it will add to your growth. And so I would like to hear a story maybe from any or all of you of when that consciousness came to you, that you realized this wasn't just about you giving gyan, but that these people, these foreigners, were actually educating you spiritually as well.
You know, when I was in India, actually it is only serving the Hindu community. So we were only exposed mostly to the Hindu community. I did not know anything about Christianity. I did not know anything about Islam. I did not know much about Buddhism. And so as staying abroad, I was exposed, you know, like I was in Muslim countries like Indonesia, Malaysia, like Christian countries in the West. So actually, by coming in contact with those people, they taught me about their religion, you know. And by sharing Baba's knowledge, they taught me actually what is Christianity is about, what is Buddhism is about, having conversation with them. So I learned a lot about various religions through those people when I came in contact. So that is one aspect. But the second aspect I really learned from the West, especially from living in Australia for some time, you know, how honest people in the West are. Like many times Baba also says, I like double foreigners because they are honest. And I practically saw in my interaction with them that, you know, how important it is to be honest in our relationships. Like for example, say, if I have said something to someone which they did not like, you know, it happens in our relationship. So they won't keep it in their heart and stop having good relationship with me. So what they used to say is, okay, can I speak to you for a minute? And we will sit down and they tell you with lot of respect, look, what you said is not right. You should not be saying like this in front of, you know, so and so whatever. So I realize, I say, sorry, finish. Then we work together, you know. But this was not before, because sometimes, you know, when I was in India, like if something happens in relationship, we don't talk to them directly out of maybe for different reasons. And we hold it in the heart and our relationship is spoiled. So I really appreciated that, you know, openness, honesty with respect. So that is something I learned a lot, especially from interacting with Westerners. So then it is easy to understand and then work together with love and respect for each other.
Beautiful. Hamadaban.
As Sister Bhavna said that she doesn't have the... Means when I went there, I do not have the practice of doing any physical work. Because I went from directly from the studies and practice, so everything my mother used to do. So when I look at the room first time, my tears start coming because I could not understand how I'm going to do that. And every little thing which I used to do. But I did have an idea how my mother used to do or how other family members used to do. So I used to recollect how they used to do. So I try my best to do that thing. When I was in abroad, I do learn. I really felt many people ask, where did you take the training to become a teacher? I say, Guyana and Caribbean, because they are the one who taught me all the things. I realized there that the people, although they give a lot of respect to us, especially because of the Indian background people, they felt that some goddesses have appeared there or some rivers of knowledge have appeared. They give a lot of respect. But at the same time, I had to learn the culture, because I see one person came in Baba's knowledge, and she, when we start explaining them to Shiva and Shankar, she has a pendant of the Shankar, and the whole of her life she is only studied the Shankar. And when I say Shiv Baba is Baba's knowledge, she started crying for a 1 week, whole week she started crying, and it was so difficult to tell those people that yes. So I felt that although we go to the different countries, we can't go and give the straight knowledge. You have to keep the feelings and their bhavna in our consciousness while you are doing. The same thing with the Christian religion, same thing with other religion, Buddhist people and Christian people, as well as the Muslim. many people came in contact, I think I learned that I must keep respect and their bhavana in my mind before I say something, and I must say something with so much love and good feelings. So that I learned from there.
Beautiful. Bhavana.
When I went from India to West, only I went for 3 months because Daddy asked me to go for 3 months. So whatever things happened during those 3 months, I was keep giving positive thoughts to myself that I am only here for 3 months. So doesn't matter if any problems comes, I will face it very nicely because I love Daddy, I love Baba. So no problem is there. But after 3 months, I wrote letter because early days there wasn't computer or all these facilities were not there. So manually we used to write letter to Daddy. So I asked Daddy, Daddy, can I come back now? 3 months is over. So Daddy exactly knew that I got visa for 6 months. So she replied me very nicely. She said, Bhavana, you stay until you finish your visa. So again 3 months, I stayed there. So in 6 months, you make lot of contact with many, many people. And after 6 months, she also told me very nicely that try to make inquiry if you have to stay in this country, what you have to do. So I started making inquiry. And then they asked me, if you want to stay in this country, because it's a Christian country, so you have to make your center registered as a church in this country. And after 6 months, I had to leave country because they were at that time only giving 6 month visa to visitors. So before I left country, I put this application to the immigration and wherever, whatever procedure I had to do, I did to register center as a church. And then I left country, I went to Fiji and started doing Baba's service in different islands of the Fiji. And when 2 months later, immigration again gave me 15 days visa, so I came back to the country and they wanted to take my interview before they registered center as a church. So I had to go to Justice Department somewhere and had to give interview. Now I never ever given any interviews like that in my whole life. So I sat down in Baba's remembrance and first question this lawyer asked me, tell me sister, do you conduct marriages in your church? Because in Lokik church that's what they do. So 1 second I thought, if I say no, then whole interview will be finished. So I said, I do conduct. And then he asked me, tell me sister, how do you conduct marriages in your church? So I said, in my church is little long procedure is there. Here is a marriage between soul and supreme soul. Because I was very innocent, I didn't know how to put all these things into their language. But anyway, whatever inspiration came, I just spoke. And then he asked me question, tell me sister, do you register after marriage? So at that time, I didn't know what register is. Because in our Indian centers, you know, we used to keep register book. If people come to class, you put absent, present, if they don't come absent. So I thought something like that he is asking. So I said with great intoxication that I do register. And then he asked me another question. Tell me sister, do you have divorces in your church? So I said, look, my church is a very, very unique church. If somebody is married, it's a permanent marriage is there. No divorces. So he liked that part very much. He said, look sister, in my church, they get married morning time, afternoon divorce. And in your church, no divorces. This is very nice. And somehow he registered our center as a church in the country. And He made me the minister of that church. And on that basis, immigration gave me visa to stay in the country. So sometimes really I had to study quite deeply about this Christianity. You know, how their mind works and how to give them Baba's knowledge. It wasn't easy. I did make some mistakes, but learned, and still I am learning.
That's beautiful. So, for each of you, again, mainly Mirabhan, you're in Malaysia, and mainly you're in Trinidad, Hamlataban, and New Zealand for Bhavna. Tell me something about the people of those, specifically of those countries, that you would not have known if you hadn't been an instrument there. Tell me something about Trinidadians, Hamlataban.
Trinidadians are very loving people.
Okay.
You know. And they had a lot of bhavana for knowledge. But of course, I soon realized there that I have come here to give, not to take anything. You know, because we came to give the Baba's message, but this message of Baba is very important message. So I felt that I need to pull my socks all the time.
Uh-huh.
The socks in the sense like, you go in a country, you try to be mixed with the people, you are very flexible, people praise you so much and say, oh, you're so nice, you mix with us so nicely. And afterwards they say, you come here and we change you instead of you change us. So one time I was sitting in meditation, I said to myself, I will not lose my identity and yet I will respect, I will appreciate the people and the culture. And I never forced them to change their dresses or anything that they had to come and they had to wear the sari or this or that. But I say, I will remain as an example and they can follow the culture because I like the culture in the sense of variety, different kind of thing. And exposing to the non-Indians, I think that also was very good for me because I felt a universal love somehow. That was my basic thing. I love everybody, whether they are whichever religion. First time when I came in the plane, next to me was an African person. I did not know how to deal with that person. But after I came in the country and mixed with everybody, I think I opened my heart for everybody.
So that by coming abroad, your heart and your mind has
open.
To open.
Yes, definitely for
them. Yeah.
I become wider, you know, so narrow-minded in the sense you are Hindu religion, you are this and you are that. But this soul consciousness actually does so much that you don't have no discrimination about anything.
We sometimes tease Hamlataban because even though she was talking about changing, but she also was influenced because every now and again when she's not paying attention, she actually speaks with a Trinidadian accent. And all of us from that part of the world recognize it. Yeah, so tell us about Malaysians, you wouldn't have known not having been there or served.
I think Malaysia is a multinational, multicultural, you know, multi-religious country. So three races live together, Muslims, Hindus, Chinese and also Christians. But one speciality I saw in Malaysia was the unity and harmony. How beautifully they live together, blend their culture, even though they have certain, systems and customs. But generally, it was nice to see, first time when I went to Penang, one of the islands, I saw in one road, church, temple, mosque, and, you know, all in one street, and everyone doing what they were supposed to do, but at the same time, they're living in harmony. So this really made me surprised that, because usually in some countries, Muslim country means it's Muslim, that's all. Other people cannot live together with them. But here, like, they celebrate Deepavali, they invite Muslims to come. they celebrate Eid, they will invite Indians to go. So it's living together in harmony was some speciality that I saw. So even in the center also, all races of people come together, you know. So it's like what Baba says, unity in diversity in practical. My experience being away from India, what very important lesson I learned is being on the unlimited. Like even though, you know, we all living in different countries, but when we go from one country to another, there is not a kind of any limitation, my center, my student. In India it used to be a lot, my center, my student, my area. But living outside India, this is something I appreciated very much. We become far-sighted, broad-minded and unlimited, able to accept everyone as they are without any kind of barriers. And one interesting feeling I felt also is, in India, you know, we have seniors. If any little problem comes, you go to them and they solve. But now we are on our own. We were staying, means most of us stayed alone. And when any situation comes, we don't have anybody to go to. And during those days, no telephone, no email, nothing. Even the Murli used to reach after 1 month, when we were in Guyana, Trinidad. We used to receive Murli after 1 month. So there was no communication of that kind. So Baba is the only support and only strength. And so my experience is, it really, really brought me very, very close to Baba. Because anything happens, sit in front of Baba, and Baba gives solution. We don't write to Dadis, you know, this problem has come, what to do. After solving the problem, then we inform. Because we know that by the time we write to Dadi and we get reply, the problem is already gone. Mm-hmm. And so, in that way, how to take help from Baba, how to use Baba, so that is something I learned a lot.
Okay. Is there something specific you wanted to say about New Zealanders, in short? Because there's two questions I'd really like you to answer before we finish.
They are quite open-minded, and they love the friendship, equality.
Ah, beautiful. Yeah, I think that might be a universal idea. Are you treated differently when you come back to India? I mean, I don't mean in Madhaban or by Madhaban, by the seniors or whatever, but I mean, in the Brahmin family in general, how do they perceive you, knowing that your experience has been perhaps quite different in some ways from theirs and has required, you know, courage on your part? So how are you seen, or how do you think you're seen by the rest, the wider Brahmin family in India, not abroad?
They really, really appreciate our experiences, you know. They really appreciate the role that we are playing with courage. And I see a lot of appreciation wherever we go.
And what, in essence, would any of you tell them that Baba's children abroad bring to the Yajna? Because there was a time, certainly when I first came, where in India, they didn't think that we would manage. They didn't think that we would continue. The seniors never doubted it, but many of the others didn't. They were even surprised we were there, and even more surprised that we've stuck around for 40 years. And so what do you tell them that those from abroad bring to the Yajna? What is the special thing that they bring?
I think, you know, when people listen to the experiences, like, you know, before what kind of lifestyle they had and how they have transformed, and they are really very impressed to know actually that long they can carry on constantly, it is because of the sustenance they receive from Dadis and sustenance they receive from Baba. So people are really, really impressed to hear the experiences of the double foreigners, you know, especially Westerners, being in knowledge for so many years. They sometimes feel shame that in Bharat, mm-hmm. Some cannot keep it up, because that recognition that they had, and then the transformation in their life, so their presence inspires a lot of Bharatvasis mm-hmm. to come close to Baba. So double foreigners who have been so long in knowledge, they have become instrument to bring many Bharatvasis close to Baba.
Yeah, this is true. Do you have a sense of what might happen in the future in terms of, you know, because again, daddies get less and less as the days go by. What do you see will be the role of the double foreigners as we move forward?
I think they will awake the Kumbhkarna of Bharatvasis.
Okay, that is something Baba has said. Now, one final question, and you were all saying, I think, and agreeing with what Mirabhan was saying about the honesty of Baba's children from abroad, and so then I will expect the same honesty when I ask this question. mm-hmm. And that is, when you souls, you sisters who have gone abroad, when you compare notes with each other and we're not around, what do you say? What do you talk about?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Well, just like when you share your because you
yeah.
have an experience, you know, that is not my experience. And so as sisters who went abroad, when you discuss amongst yourselves, what are the things that you share in terms of your experience about working abroad? You have funny stories. Come on, you must have some funny stories about maybe the way that we've responded or reacted, or that wouldn't be the same as in India.
No, those that used to happen in the beginning.
Let me ask Hamlata Ben. You haven't.
Yeah.
Tell.
What I find is when we go to abroad and look at the student, the type of the sustenance and the commitment and sacrifice which we learn in India, we do not see that part of it, that depth,
mm-hmm.
but they have the other aspect of honesty and patience, standing in the line, and they go with the patient, but in India it's not so.
Is it a difference in bhavna and maybe gyan, like head and heart type of thing, would you say?
Something of that effect.
It's not that bhavna is missing abroad, it's there.
It's bhavna, but in different way.
But it's in a different way.
Yeah, means aspect of the bhavna and aspect of love, aspect of, it's little different.
Mm-hmm.
So although we go to the, I'm talking of myself, that I go there, but I don't think that I could live for the rest of the life there. Anytime I was called, I will come back.
You would come back. That's interesting. Thank you. That's honest. What about you, Bhavna? Are you ready to come home?
If Daddy would ask, I will. But I am quite okay.
You're quite
because
okay.
Because now I have adopted lot of their custom system, and I am feeling quite comfortable. Early days, it took me time to learn everything, but now a lot of things I learned, and I'm quite happy if I have to stay there.
Beautiful. Also. We're quite happy that you stayed too. Mirabhan, what do you talk about amongst your peer group?
No, sometimes, you know, we have a lot of entertaining things to share.
Tell us
because
one.
For example, when I was in Australia, you know, I used to talk in a normal way, and they start laughing all of a sudden. So I don't understand why they are all laughing. What did I say wrong? No, then they say, oh, this is the, what they call? This is the humor of Australia. I thought, is this the humor make me feel bad? You know, I am not saying anything wrong. So why they are laughing at me? So some certain things that, you know, had affected sometimes. So when we meet, we share, you know, this is what happened. So certain systems, like in the kitchen, for example, we are not used to that, you know, where they will put the name of all the people who live in the center, and then, once they eat, they will tick the mark, and then if somebody is not there, you know, they will pack the food and put it in the fridge. These things are something strange for us. And one day they made pakoda, you know, and they said, for everyone, only 4 pakoda. They write it on the board, only 4 for everyone. Because otherwise what will happen, that one person will eat up all, because they like. And then when the other person comes, there is no more left. So when we see these kind of things, you know, it was an entertaining. So then when we meet with each other, so we we share. So like we used to eat fruit. We put salt in the orange when we eat. And then they will be laughing at us. What? Salt in the fruit? So, you know, like certain strange, when they cook the food in Australia, for example, there was no salt and no pepper, nothing. So, like, things like that, which really made us funny.
It's funny.
So then we will, sometimes when we meet with each other, we share some funny stories of that kind.
There was one that I recollect, don't remember the detail, but something that happened when you were in Paris. You want to tell that? And then we'll finish.
Yes, sometimes language barrier create little problems. So I was visiting one of the center, and in that center 2 sisters were staying. One sister knew little bit English, other sister didn't know much English at all. So once she knew the English, she went for work, and another sister was in center. So we were using subtle region language, but sometimes that language doesn't work. So that evening we have program at center, and we needed some tolly, and I was free during daytime. So I was trying to explain this sister that, can you show me where is the flower so I can make some tolly? So I was keep saying flower, flower. She thought that flower. So she went to garden and brought the flower. I said, not this one, but I want some white flower for tolly. So she went again garden and brought white rose. So I said, no, 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 not this one, sister. And then she said, sister, no flower in center. So I said, okay, we can go to town and we will get some. And then we went to town, and do you know where she took me? She took me to pharmacist, chemist. So I thought, in our country, chemist people don't keep. But never know, in this country they might keep. So I said, you go and ask. And she went inside and asked, and she came back and said, no flower there. So I said, okay, no problem, let's go home. And then we were driving home, and we saw very big supermarket. Yeah, so I said, please stop here, that will be here, flower will be here in the supermarket. And then we went inside and I showed her, that's what I wanted. And then she said, oh sister, plenty at home. So sometimes certain region language doesn't work.
I can't imagine what
so
she asked him for in the chemist.
We share, yeah.
All right. So thank you very much. It's 7:00. Give them a big hand. let me just ask one question. How many of you in this audience, and I'm sure there are some, who actually took spiritual birth through one of these instruments? There we are, Guyana, Trinidad. All right. Okay, again, thank you all very much. Om Shanti.